We welcome via the magic of the telephone, Greg Gutfeld, Pratt on Texas. Greg, you're going to be at the Bush Center in Dallas, the George W. Bush Center there at SMU's campus tomorrow, and your co-host Dana Perina is going to interview you about your new book, Not Cool. Tell us about that event and then the book tour.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty exciting because obviously she worked for the administration, and it's going to be kind of like the tables are turned. Well, she grills me, and it's a sold-out event. That's the bad news, but the good news is I'm going to be in Abilene on Friday at Hastings.
Yeah, in Midland as well. We've got listeners, Midland, Abilene, San Angelo, all of them. So you're going
to
be...
if they want to find out where to go, because there's like 12 places.
Right.
They go to ggutfeld.com. It goes the whole list of the Midland and San Angelo and Katy, everywhere.
Let me get those out of the way real quick for our immediate listening area. Hastings at noon on Friday in Abilene.
Yeah.
You folks listening in the Petroplex in Midland, it'll be at Barnes & Noble at 4 p.m. And then in the evening in the Concho Valley in San Angelo, 7:30 p.m. at Hastings. And then on Saturday, he heads to the Alamo City of San Antonio. Then over to Katy, the Woodlands, and College Station down in Southeast Texas. And on Sunday, it'll be in Wacky Waco and Fort Worth and Plano. The book is Not Cool, The Hipster Elite and Their War on You. Who are the hipster elite, and what is their war on all of us?
Well, the way I look at it is, basically, it's a progressive mindset that believes that anything that came before them is bad. So anything that is considered a traditional way of living.
Wait a minute, Greg Gutfeld. I thought that was just adolescence.
Yes. This is protracted adolescence.
Exactly.
In fact, it starts as a kind of a rebellion against your parents. It's all about the idea of subversion and how rebellious it is to subvert society when, in fact, the subverters don't even have a replacement for it. So the mentality, it's kind of a grad school mentality that everything that's good about America is bad, and the rest of the world understands, but we don't. So we have to correct everything, whether it's our foreign policy, our elections, our military. And that's why the campus, essentially, is so corrupt with idiots, because to them, identity means more than industry. We're living in a world right now where the idea of cool means anything that's anti-West or anti-American.
You know, I'm not sure that's completely new. I think as being a near majority in the popular culture, it's true. But it's always been true in certain pockets. You know, it's human nature. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. But it has long been considered a part of a lack of full development. I've long argued that liberalism, largely as practiced today in the American sense, and progressivism, are people generally, in my personal experience in life, are people stuck in one area or another, stuck in adolescence or stunted in adolescence? They tend to always be embarrassed of their hometown. They always want it to have what other towns do. They're never proud of what they call culture. You know, growing up, there was this lady, Greg, that she was the cultural doyen of the little town, farming town I'm from, and I did I went on to be a national champion in public speaking, a state debate. You know, it's always a champion in debate and all this stuff, but she told me when the only activity competitively was poetry reading in junior high here at the time, and she said, well, you've got this Texas accent, don't ever do public speaking, you can't do it, because to her, you know, the opera, which, by the way, I'm a patron of, but the opera, that's culture. You see, and I've always thought this is all part of adolescence, that it remains an extended, to use your term, adolescence.
Yeah. Well, no, it's true, but where is adolescence extended? It's extended in the campus. And the mindset of adolescence, which is the desire to be liked, the desire to be part of the group, is preyed upon by those who don't make anything, who are interested in taking things. So what they're doing is they are telling you that the traditional way of achievement through life is not worth it. The other way to live is through kind of an ironic detachment, where you kind of look at what other people do as inferior. So what you're talking about, in a way, is like I have a chapter on the South. The hipster adopts the accoutrements of the South. If you're in Brooklyn, New York, they have goatees and tattoos and sleeveless shirts, and they drink Pabst, but they make fun of the South. They dress like a stereotype of the South, because that's cool, but they actually think the South is stupid.
But is there anything new about this observer's culture? Because isn't this exactly where Marxism came from? You know, whether it's Hegel or Marx or, you know, any of these folks, it was the cafe society. And I've spent a lot of time around the world. I love cigars. And the cafe society is all about sitting around, watching other people and talking about how bad and stupid they all are and how much smarter we are. I think it's a long standing tradition that informs this movement, but it's certainly gotten its hooks into a deeper and broader swath of society today, and maybe campus is the enabler.
Well, it's the campus academic industrial complex. That's where it comes from. It's like, you know, they used to call it the military industrial complex. Their complex is actually far worse. And what they have now, which they didn't have before, which is a firmer, stronger grasp on pop culture, we've democratized fame through social networks. Now that if you actually have a traditional point of view or say something, you could be damaged permanently and worldwide because it's easy to basically destroy someone. It's almost like the hip really are bullies with stylists.
I think the whole idea of the hipster culture is, to borrow from another talk radio, the great one, you know, not Mark Levin, but Rush Limbaugh's early refrain of symbolism over substance. This is what all of that culture's been about way back since the 19th century's cafe society. It's all about looking right, belonging, a sense of belonging, and I've always thought completely a form of adolescence that exists all the way into adulthood. Everybody but us is bad. Everybody else is backwards. All traditions, everything. It's crazy, and we participate in it, but we slyly make fun of it, and that's what makes it okay.
Yeah, well, it's a destructive mentality, because in the end, where does it lead?
It leads to indolence. It leads to indolence and laziness and living off of others. And that's why the only place it's been able to maintain a home worldwide, mind you, worldwide, the only place it's been able to maintain a home with any kind of support is on university campuses with their originally well-intended sense of autonomy, where they're not producing anything and they're very rarely held to any kind of productive standards.
Well, that's the point of tenure. You know, the fact is, if there are no measures or metrics of success, then you don't have to succeed. If you had the same metrics for everything else in life, life wouldn't exist. That's the essence of cool. It's describing the idea that the metrics for success are corrupt.
Right.
The idea of making money is corrupt. The idea of raising a family and having a two-parent household is corrupt. The idea of going 9 to 5 is corrupt. The metrics of success are bad. It's much more superior, for example, to major in gender studies, so you can then teach gender studies to more gender studies undergrads. It's a cycle that just never ends.
Right. Let me ask you this question, though. Greg Gutfeld, we're visiting with. He's the host of The Five on the Fox News Channel, and he's got this great book, Not Cool, The Hipster Elite and Their War on You. When satire and being satirical to tear down others, there's nothing wrong with satire. It's been around for as long as we've had recorded history and even before. But when satire and living a life of satire, this hipster culture, begins to replace intelligence or reasoning, where does that lead a society?
Yeah, well, that's the point. It's the kind of like if you look at how liberal comedians react to conservative ideas, they don't necessarily respond to them with factual data. They just snark. And it's the birth of snark, really, is the kind of unintelligent version of satire. Satire is wonderful. It's a fantastic tool. I would not condemn them for using it. I would encourage the other side to learn how to use it better.
Well, I was just kind of comparing it to the film industry. The U.S. has a profitable film industry. France has a huge film industry, but its industry is based upon being snarky. A dystopian view of everything. And so you get this massive production stuff, but none of it's commercially viable. And if it had to survive on its own, it couldn't. Well, this is the problem. When the political discussion and everything simply moves into the realm of whoever's the most snarky is the leader, your society's really doomed because nobody's really discussing the issues that need to be confronted.
There are exceptions, though. There are times, though. I think in the past year, we've seen movies in which one target of snark is often turns out to be elevated, which is the military. If you look at the right. movie Captain Phillips, the best part of Captain Phillips is the end. Lone Survivor is another example.
Right.
Zero Dark Thirty. The best part about that, again, was the use of the military. Hollywood hates everything about the military until
Except
they need it in a
money.
Movie.
Yeah. Till they need to make money off of it. Greg Gutfeld, he's on his book tour, It's Not Cool, The Hipster Elite and Their War on You. You can check him out on Fox News Channel's The Five. He'll be in San Angelo, Midland, and Abilene on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. You can find the locations at the link right there at proudontexas.com. Thanks for joining us. Best of luck out on the book tour, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.